Blog Talk Radio.
In conjunction with cagejunkies.com. My name is Bob Carson, and we are very proud to have you with us here tonight on this MMA edition of Carson's Corner. We got coming up, we have just a huge show for you. In about 5 to 7 minutes, we're going to be talking, or we're going to play you our update with Dan Quinn. Dan was able to get in contact with me on April the 6th. At around 12 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time, and we conducted a 47-minute update in which Dan Quinn revealed that his life is being threatened. His life is being threatened. He feels that the Sacramento County officials are facilitating the threats against his life. I'm really concerned about this. I really am. I'm very concerned about Dan's welfare and his safety, as all of us should be. And he's going to be giving us an update in just a few moments. And then in the second hour, we have the recently victorious Tom DeBlas coming back to the program. He, of course, was victorious at Bellator 95 with a very impressive TKO win over Carlos Brooks of Team Tiger Shulman. Tom is a really, really good guy. Great sportsman. Great for the sport. And we're proud to be interviewing him in just a second hour. We have a caller here. I'm wondering who this is. It's either my good friend Jeff Howard, because it's a 203 area code, or it's going to be either Eric Ninehouse. Let's see who this is. Welcome to Carson's Corner.
Hey, brother, it's Jeff.
Hey, what's up, man?
Not much. How are you? We no long time no talk to.
I know. We got to get you calling in on the political show. On Friday, we're going to have a political show. I scheduled it in the afternoon between 4 and 6, hoping that would accommodate your schedule. And we also, on Friday, we're also going to be speaking with a Marxist activist named Wade Jackson, a very intelligent young man on Facebook. And I want to sort of, you know, find out about the concepts of Marxism. But what's going on, Jeff? How have you been?
I've been absolutely fine, Bob. I wanted to call in because well, I follow MMA not quite as closely as you do,
right?
But I've been a devotee of the martial arts for many years. I studied Krav Maga and Taekwondo and all that stuff. You know, if I was 30 years younger, I'd probably get into MMA myself just to be able to face Mr. Quinn, because he is the kind of an athlete that I want to test my skills against.
You know what, Jeff? I got to tell you, there are a lot of people out there that are like that. That there's something about Dan. Dan is 6'3", 205 pounds, very, very little body fat. And I lived with Dan for a couple months. And, you know, you see Dan on YouTube. You see him making, you know, his videos and whatnot. And then you meet Dan in person. And let me tell you, Dan is a very physically intimidating guy. He's a really intimidating guy. And he's really a physical specimen, even at the age of, you know, what is he, 46, 47 years old, may even be younger than that. I think he was born in 1967, so that would make him about 46 years old. But Dan, you know, there's a possibility that Dan could fight MMA when he beats these charges, or whenever he gets out of jail. So, but you're right though, he is. And you know what, Jeff, I've never seen a picture of you, but I can tell from your passion when it comes to progressive politics, that you're not someone that anybody should mess with. If you think that liberals out there are weak, and you know, you could slap them around, you could push them around, well, you haven't met Jeff Howard, or you haven't met me for that matter, too. You know.
Well, Bob, I spent active duty in reserves. I spent 27 years in the Marine Corps. I taught hand-to-hand combat. I tried to get Krav Maga accepted as the main hand-to-hand procedure for the Marines, but they just, you know, I mean, it works for the Israeli Special Forces. And some of the times I spent in Israel, those guys I would not want to mess with, because these are all clean, lethal blows that you deliver with this style. And as I'm getting older, I wish I had competed in my younger days. Well, I'd like to take on Bigfoot Silva, teach him a lesson.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you, Bigfoot Silva is taking on Junior Dos Santos, and I'm a big fan of Bigfoot Silva, especially how he conducts himself. I think the guy is all class. We only have a couple minutes. I want to get your opinion on this. I was going to talk about this. This is sort of a political issue here. Matt Mitrione, a UFC fighter, who, by the way, is libertarian. He trains with Chris Lytle, who's also kind of a libertarian guy, and that's fine. You know, nothing against them. This is an MMA show, so I don't really want to go into, you know, dissecting libertarianism and whatnot. But he criticized a transgender fighter in Fallon Fox, and the UFC has suspended him indefinitely. Now, you know, what's your opinion on this, Jeff? We only got about like a minute or so, and then or 2 minutes or so. I want to apply.
Okay, let me jump right in then.
Yeah.
The way I look at it is the same way I looked at when Renee Richards tries to become a female pro tennis star. If they meet the physical requirements, I mean, I don't, as long as he's not, you know, still pumping the steroids or the testosterone or whatever, let the guy compete. You know, what he was or what he is does not matter. I don't care if he's gay or pink with purple polka dots. Let him compete. That's, you know, and let him compete on the merits. If he's not good enough, he won't last very long.
That's my opinion. He's Fallon Fox was cleared of any wrongdoing by the Florida Commission for allegedly lying on her application. This is a rigorous process in terms of licensing. Other licensing commissions have established a criteria for transgender athletes, and you know, I'm fine with it, but other people are not, and that's fine too. Matt Mitrione was suspended. I don't think he should have been suspended indefinitely. I think that was a little bit of a harsh punishment. I think it's more of a PR campaign on the part of Zuffa, the parent company of the Ultimate Fighting Championships. But bottom line is, yeah, I pretty much agree with you, Jeff. Listen, we got to run. Friday, are you going to be able to do the political show between 4 and
6?
Yeah,
I will call. What time do you want me to call you Friday?
Can you do it around 4 o'clock or so?
Sure, no, I'll call you 4 o'clock Friday. Oh, and do me a favor. Next time you talk to Mr. Quinn, tell him I'm behind him 100%.
Absolutely, brother. Thanks a lot. We'll speak to you on Friday.
Okay, see you later, brother.
Okay, I want to just give a few shout-outs here. To members in the forum. There's Scott Rist in the forum. Fallon Fox does not meet physical requirements to fight women. Never blah, blah, blah. Thank you very much, Scott. I don't have time to really go into what you were talking about. And also want to mention Zeitgeist Movement Sacramento, who I'm following as well. His show, I didn't get a chance to listen to his show yesterday as I was busy, but a big shout out to the gentleman who posts under Zeitgeist Movement Sacramento. I forget. I don't have his name in front of me, but I encourage you to check out that show and check out my political show, in which many of the Zeitgeist concepts I discuss. The Zeitgeist films are very, very important. I can go, you know, on and on and on and talk about the great points that Peter Joseph puts out there in his movies, and all of these movies are documented. All these movies are sourced. There's no information in any of the Zeitgeist films that is not sourced, and it really, really forces you to think, and it's great. It really is. So thanks to everybody in the chat room, and just we're going to go to Dan Quinn now. We're going to play you our update with Dan Quinn, and I just want to sort of finish off my thoughts with regards to the Fallon Fox situation. I don't think that Matt Mitrione should have been suspended. I think that the UFC, everybody's entitled to their opinion. If Matt Mitrione had used the N-word or used some other sort of derogatory slur towards a minority group, I think that would be a different story. Not condoning any type of slur towards transgender individuals, okay? But I just, I look, there's a part of me that acknowledges that, although we're having this discussion with gay rights in America, and we will continue to, although individuals are, they can have the same rights as everybody, and they should have the same rights as everybody else does. But transgender athletes, you're going to get people that are going to be highly opinionated with regards to transgender athletes. And there are transgender athletes out there. I don't think that there's going to be a lot of them. I think that you're just going to have a handful of transgender athletes in particular sports. And that's fine. It's going to conjure up a lot of opinions. It's a heated debate in our society. It's one that we should have. And although Matt Mitrione, maybe some of his words were not chosen carefully, I don't think that he should be suspended indefinitely. With that said, let's go to Dan Quinn now. Dan Quinn in Sacramento County Jail. I got to tell you, we're really, really concerned about Dan Quinn and his safety. And I want to give a shout out to the folks on the Underground Forum as well. Thank you very much for listening. We've got Tom DeBlas coming up at 9 o'clock or so. And without further ado, here is Dan Quinn. This occurred on April 6, 2013, at about 12 o'clock. So this is not a live phone call with Dan. So here it is. One. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been almost 2 months since we spoke to Dan Quinn. March 19th was the last time. And now, finally, after several attempts, we've been able to get in touch with Dan, and we're ready to go here. Dan, how are you, man?
I'm the same way. Could be doing better, could be doing worse. And before I talk to the governor of Baja California, question for you, Bob. Aspartame Saddam Hussein, hold on for that. Aspartame Saddam Hussein in the FDA, okay? Question. If the aspartame burns out neurotransmitters in the brain, okay, puts holes in them, makes it sick, leaves it dead, and Japan and Europe have banned it, okay? What is the difference between the FDA in the United States and Saddam Hussein directly gassing his people if the FDA says it's okay in the United States?
Nothing.
Nothing. Except Saddam Hussein did those people a favor by killing them directly instead of making them sick, making money off them, through corporations that sell things and make you better that don't work, okay? Here we go, Bob. Jorge Hayes-Rome, governor of Baja, California, and Agua Caliente racetrack owner, and a friend of an old friend. After explaining how you can easily make both of us billionaires, I briefly want to mention Sacramento's Sacramento County Jail for trying to kill me 3 times, not including deboning my shoulders and neck and booking this time, nor sinking a silk in my coffee and trying to make me sick, and also including their jail-wide sleep deprivation and starvation torture technique. Senor Rome, that exquisitely beautiful baby, white Siberian beagle tiger, customs confiscated from your car at the border that they gave to the San Diego Zoo. I held this magnificence in my arms at Mark Brandon's house before he ever even gave it to you. As the tequila sunrises, they're screening yours and Brandon's relationship. Mel Gibson, a much shorter, less handsome facsimile of Mark Brandon, while Julia's on-screen magnificence probably not doing you justice. That Tequila Sunrises screenwriter could have included Dan Quinn at 16 years old about to beat Mel Mark's ass the first day that he's released from federal prison for the first time as a sophomore in high school, okay? My sophomore in high school self allowing him to escape that mono combat situation involving a year parole violation. In my opinion, it's almost bordering my 39-year-old self discovering that stevia actually equals sound of you. That stevia plus H2O plus E for energy equals natural gas and the sound of you eclipses Einstein equals E. E equals MC squared. But stevia and water, Senor Rome. See, water boost, morph, vanish, triplifies into H2O natural gas, stop the heat for energy burning process, see it slowly morph back into water, the floating white socket. So remove all floating white socket. So the constant danger, constant will kill you chemicals that corporate America is murdering Earth with. And 17-year-old stage 4 calf about to be euthanized, live until 19 in perfect health. And my Uncle Bob's body vanishes, 6 breast tumors and 62 pounds of flabby fat, 4 months. 2 science experiments proving my stevia discovery wins future Nobel Prizes and generates billions. 1. Add 1 ounce stevia to 1 gallon of water. Fill a small 500 milliliter bottle for a start weight. Blend out all the hidden like mistletoe to a tree, man-made killer toxins. And in the past, a new same-size bottle of what I call, quote-unquote, curing Chuo was 3 to 3.5 grams heavier than its start. And curing Chuo reverses the cancer and aging and fat curses. Or 2, for the stage 4 cat or a human in roommate, a perfectly healthy cat or a human pedophile sexual predator rapist in room B, A gets a curing Chuo and goes perfectly healthy and amazing Hollywood movie-type speed. Room B, it's the now liquefied, once floating like so toxic, and spirals into toxicity and death to astonishing speed. Fact. Excuse me. Fact. I have a 4-man patent equals a self-addressed stamped envelope containing stevia plus water plus E equals 3H2O natural gas and PureH2O. A 4-man patent has prevailed in court before in discovering stevia as a natural and healthy detergent for water that equals the fact of youth equals future billions, and with your help, hurt Mexico and the spreading to America and then hopefully globally, I envision huge thousands of gallons blenders selling quote unquote holy water for, let's say, $1 a gallon equals a future with us making more than $100 million a day out of the United States alone. Fact. Joe Kennedy's millions came from illegal bootleg liquor. And took his prodigy to Camelot in the White House. Mark Brandon is doing 75 to life for massive marijuana distribution and being, in effect, the natural doctor. THC's proven curative process, curative powers, with the toxic killer chemical America's feed that to Americans, all of the FDA, all of the Hunger Games capital opposes. America's only industrialized country that does not have any national health care. Our Border Patrol, Gestapo waging war upon Mexican immigrant farm workers. California's economy close to bankrupting without them. Senor Rowan, fact not fiction. Massively huge, quote unquote, doses of THC plus stevia to keep you and me awake, maybe clock much faster 60-hour dash times at 39 years old than I did 20 plus years ago in Notre Dame, when I make that white LT type flavor fit and have the Jets to actually track down Timmy Heisen Brown from behind when he thinks he's gone for a touchdown. Please, Senor Rome, open your mind to the possibilities. My son's middle school track coach clocked me at an unofficial 5'9 over 60 yards 6 years ago, spun on Stevie and weed, and then Placer County Sheriff's and Sergeant McKenzie illegally breaking the law, fabricating a crime that I spit on him and trying to send me to prison, diverting me from my life-saving path, from sprinting to MMA in the attempt to get America to wake up and listen. Same fluoride comatose idiotic America that's befuddled in believing that 2 jet fighters asked me the Twin Towers fall, and it wasn't an inside, quote-unquoite, Cheney Bush cover-up, the militia job used to control America and lead us to war. In America, where men waste how many millions, maybe even billions of dollars on expense and failed attempts to make the huge penises, whereas only Joe H.U. and a few of us works for Massachusetts crew, along with a couple others, have actually embraced and validated the violin as the fountain of orgasm for women. Joe renamed me actually the quote unquote levitator, Bob, because female pelvises actually come off the bed and attack cases. Courts across the country, especially in Santa Monica County, relatively slapped in the hands of sex offenders, giving 3 years to a murderer's accomplice, okay? And that's the actual first offer of me for having a gun given me to protect me and defend my life that's often been threatened with butchery for this government that Stevie actually cures. Dana White and the USC actually lying and slandering me to TMZ, who slandered Dan Quinn globally, saying it was my voice threatening to kill Dana, Dr. Evil, when it honestly wasn't. Like, quote unquote, he was like saying that he and his wife went buku fucking crazy when I called and him and Joe Rogan, the Dr. Evil admitted me, repeated police business to my house, searching my house, okay, for whatever they could find, but ensured that I didn't have any weapons to defend me. The fact ED's Officer Toy, the liar who arrested me, admitting that he was at my house on one of those raids, yet he lied and fabricated that there was some kind of drug dealing going on as the excuse to actually search me. Me hearing Toy's genetic defective voice wearing a badge who doesn't survive Darwin's world without, you know, society protecting him, saying, once again, police scandal and duplicity will, once again, derail Stevia's life-saving miracle by illegally searching to wrongfully arresting me, costing perhaps millions of innocent lives, me handcuffed in the back of a car bomb, lamenting those diseases, cancer and diabetes and obesity deaths that Stevia so easily cures, saying in the past tense, very unpurposely, quote-unquote, I should have shot you when you walked up. Scandal Missile, California's DA actually trying to get me a strike for it. Me, already disillusioned and embarrassed about my birth country and intending to legally use money to attack both the evil rich and all who opposed and cockblock me, especially the Stack County Sheriffs, Warren, Nelson, and Hernandez, who savagely and brutally hurt me during booking, shredding my shoulder muscles and tweaking my neck. But they viciously pulled my already handcuffed hands up behind me for so long that they ripped. Curious girls one day buying their neighbors' houses and surrounding them with indigent and the homeless and the hungry and the poor who hate their fucking guts, whose rent will be to illegally trash their own home's property value, eventually crashing all property values, people and their neighbors hating them in the future. And all dirty cops, Jerry Stroll's profit also rewarding good cops, Bob Carson, with free houses and large enough bank accounts so the rat out there can stop like counterparts, eventually cleaning up police forces all over America and then hopefully globally. Blend stevia and water. Blend washed stevia and water. See all the hidden toxins floating in your room. Jerry Stroll underneath equals magic for those who consume it. My discovery equals future billions of dollars. The violin actually does equal the fountain of orgasm for women and equals triple-digit orgasms possible for most women who experience it. The G-spot becomes the yin and the yang, disconnect the dot, equals the icing on the cake for all women who awake from their fluoride-induced comatose state who feel it. Okay? Now, Bob, I said that Sacramento County Jail has actually tried to kill me three times. Back up, Dixon. About 8 years ago, they sold me with a black predicted murder for Pelican Bay named Swanee Fisher, okay? And that created quite a big state. They were trying to put a black and a white guy together to go to war, and they fucked each other up. We actually became friends, okay? That doesn't mean that it wasn't illegal for Sacramento County to do that, okay? One time, I was taking a shower, Bob Carson, and the cops actually turned off the water when I had soap, when I was soaking my hair, and I couldn't see. And so I walked out and I pressed the bat, and they tried to charge me with an indecent exposure when I was locked up, okay? And then I sent a kite, Bob, to Ernie, who is my barber. I sent a kite to my attorney. I thought Ernie, my barber, would actually heard people say they're trying to kill me. And it gave Ernie's name and his address, and then I used a semicolon instead of an I, and it said, heard voices threatened to kill me and my quote-unquote N-I-G-G-E-R friends. Ernie's black, right? Well, I'll tell you what. A cop thought that the semicolon was an I, meaning I heard it, and they...
1 minute remaining.
They passed that kite to somebody on my floor trying to get me fucked up in a wreck, okay? Like I was dragging somebody out. You understand what I just said, Bob?
Yes. We're all worried.
Okay. I'm going to have to call you. I only have 1 minute left now. But I'll tell you what. California, isn't it true that the United States is, like, seeing a big budget deficit, okay, after all the rich have stolen all the money from the stock markets and stuff like that, Bob?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, do you realize how many thousands, millions of dollars the DAs are costing everybody by trying bullshit fucking cases? I swear to God, it's absolutely amazing, okay? People that are poor, that can't afford... I mean, here's a question, Bob. do you think that jail is actually a device used against the poor because they can't afford to get themselves out of jail? The rich can afford to bail themselves out and give themselves a better defense, and the poor have the language.
Thank you for using IT Solutions. Goodbye.
Without a doubt, Dan, he's going to call back. I got to charge my phone. Just give me 1 second. You're listening to Carson's Corner. It is pitch dark here. It's 12 o'clock. And I smell like an animal. I got to take a shower. We heard from Dan. Let's try to get my phone intact here. My battery virtually has no life to it. But now I plugged it in. We're waiting for Dan to call back. I got to tell you, I'm starting to get worried here about Dan's safety. We have to raise a lot of awareness on this. And I'll tell you another thing, too. A lot of times when Dan calls me and I go to press 5, it won't let me connect with Dan, and that's a problem. I don't know why that is, but I'm just also starting to get worried here. You know, the threats towards Dan, you know, are they coming from the Sacramento County Jail staff? Are there inmates? What is going on here? There needs to be really an investigation here. And, okay, here we go. Hello.
Monitoring at any time. Thank you for using IT Solutions. You may begin speaking now.
Hi, Bob. I want to talk about the sleep deprivation and starvation torture techniques that Sacramento County Jail employs at any point, okay, on their constituents. Fact not fiction. My ex, his name is Daniel Biagi, actually said that he was thinking about taking a deal just so he could get the fuck out and go to prison so we had enough to eat, okay? It's amazing how small portions that they feed you. And yet, have you ever bought top almond on the street?
No.
Okay, have you, you know that top almond is maybe 15 or 20 cents at the most on the street, so you've seen it?
Yes.
Right? Okay, did you realize that it's 89 cents here at Sacramento County Jail? 89 cents for top almond, okay? Yet, okay, I don't know if you buy instant coffee, no, but 2.5 ounces, Bob, is $5.99. We're talking about hyperinflation, like Germany suffered after World War One, you know, and, you know, it just goes in with this whole scheme of keeping poor people in, you know, when the rich are fucking robbing America blind, okay? Has one rich person gone to jail for the savings loan fiasco?
No.
Except for Bernie Madoff.
Eric Holder, our attorney general, said that they're too big to jail, so no.
Okay, there you go. You know, fact not fiction, Bob. I've had a lot of time to think about this, and she came back from the dead, man. Okay? You know what? I bought a stage 4 cat back in a perfect health. Mad Mike Gonzalez's ex-girlfriend, what is her name? Drawing a blank, okay? Why am I drawing a blank? I think this is, I'm going up on a tangent here. But Matt Mike Gonzalez's girlfriend had stage 4 cancer, and Stevia, in conjunction with her, the radiation, okay? You know what I'm saying? And the fact is, I'm saying that she didn't have Stevia, that she'd be still with cancer. And I'm languishing here in jail. I don't have... Can you even hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay. Hey, Brian. Hey, what was Mad Mike and Dolphin's girlfriend? Priscilla. There we go. Okay. I'll tell you what, Bob. Fact not fiction. They've done studies before where THC actually opens your mind and makes you smarter. Okay. I've taken enough headshots, you know, in fighting, where it actually is making me halfway retarded. I need to get some sheep or I need to get some steam. Well, in fact, when I cured peaching, all right, the reintroduction of regular tap water killed peaching within 30 days. Back. Steve and Fury Stroh knocked 6 breast tumors and 62 pounds up my uncle in 4 months. And then we had a falling out, and Bob Johnson, my uncle, ended up in the hospital when he started drinking regular tap water again. You know, fact, not fiction, I had breast tumors developing before I got on stevia, and then stevia took them away, and those are developing again. But I'm locked up in a Gestapo right wing fucking institution that doesn't give a flying fuck person about my health.
Right.
Did you know that the doctor here has recommended me for MRIs twice on my shoulders, but they denied it? Okay. And they actually, it was either an MRI they scheduled me for, because I'm developing the same symptoms that my uncle had when he went to Kaiser. They said they had breast tumors. Discs underneath my nipples that hurt, okay? So, trying to put a silver lining on it, okay? I don't know if I would have had the quote-unquote balls to actually go off stevia for as long as I've been to start developing breast tumors so I could actually get a prognosis that, yes, I have breast tumors, and then using stevia to cure it, you know? So if there has to be, like, a silver lining to Officer Toy lying and using that as an excuse to, you know, search my car, you know, maybe that's it. So, how am I doing, Bob? What do you think?
Dan, you're doing great. I just got to ask you, what's going on with your trial, and what else can you tell us about the treatment at the hands of the Sacramento County jail officials?
Well, you know what? I'll say this. There's some good cops here, okay? And I think that the effect that cops, teachers, and firemen have on the surrounding communities, I think that they should actually be given free houses. Seriously, you know, wouldn't you agree, Bob, that if you have an effect on the community, that if you're suffering a lot of anxiety, you know, over bills and shit, you might actually take that out of people?
Absolutely. You know, police officers, firefighters, EMTs, and scientists should be paid unlimited amounts of money as opposed to hedge fund managers and CEOs, because they create the real value for society.
There you go. Perfect, okay? You know what? Let's see what I'm going to do. Okay, people don't realize, you know what I'm saying? This stevia discovery that I have, it's a breakthrough. You know, it's like it's nature, okay? If you haven't noticed, there's a war on nature in the United States, okay? The marijuana has been proven by itself to cure cancer, all right? Marijuana makes people smarter. I don't see giant fans get beat. Okay, did you hear about the giant fan that was beat up at Dodger Stadium that was put in a coma?
Yes.
Okay. That was on fear, okay? That's what America likes to fucking force upon the population. I never hear anybody get beat up on marijuana. Have you?
No.
No, it makes everybody, you know, chill out, come together, you know, makes people smarter. Fact is, we're living in an evil fucking country that wants to take, basically, go out and collect Marinol, Bob, okay? They sell Marinol legally, but marijuana is illegal. Does that make any fucking sense?
No.
Except from the standpoint that they can make a lot of money because they have a patent on it?
No.
No, okay, America, I don't know if you read the Hunger Games, and if you haven't, you know, America is exactly like the capital, okay? Just evil fucking behemoth that, you know, is basically treating the rest of the world like slaves, okay? And fact, not fiction, you know, we don't, that most Americans don't have any idea why the rest of the world hates us so much. You realize, don't you, that we actually overthrew a duly elected president in Iran, and that's why the Iranians actually hate us?
Yeah, and that led to the violent regime, or the unstable regime that we have now. I mean, we've been doing this since 1954 with the overthrow of Mohammad Mossadegh. I mean, you know, Jacob Arbenz, too. Forget about it.
You are much better versed in all the facts, okay? But fact, not fiction, America is not the nice guy anymore, okay? But, like, you know what I think, Bob? What I think actually happened is the English, okay, who tried to take over the fucking world, everybody was getting sick of it. What they did is they sat back and threw the American Revolution to the United States so they could start to use the United States to take over the rest of the world using capitalism and democracy, okay? Now, democracy has proven to fail because Al Gore should have been president, right? I mean, isn't the fact that they stole the election from Al Gore, correct?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. If Al Gore is president, we're not having wars all over the world, okay? Did you hear that we actually sent like $1 billion that was shrink-wrapped over to Iraq and it walked away and disappeared? Did you hear about that?
Actually, I heard figures in upwards of $6 billion.
Yeah, it's even $6 billion in cash that actually just walked up and disappeared.
Yep.
Okay, you know, fact, not fiction. I've been embarrassed to be American for a long time, straight up, okay? You know, fucking rah-rah, democracy, Kev's weird. I mean, what we're doing, we're setting up little puppet dictatorships in every country so we can steal their natural resources. So Walmart can fucking sell cheap things that don't work, okay? And you know, we buy that shit. Am I making sense here?
Perfect sense. 100% behind you, Dan.
Yeah, okay. And see, Bob, please. Riley Freitag is sitting on like 12 to 14 kilos of stevia, all right? If Riley gives a kilo to you, will you make lemonade to drink it all day and lean down and prove that it actually works?
Yes. Well, we have proved that it works in the past, but I have to continue to go on it because I absolutely need to. So, yes, absolutely, Dan.
Okay, cool. You know what? And
fact, not fiction. You know, let me just say one thing here. We're talking about the Sacramento County jail officials. You know, Dan, that I've emailed you my address twice, and apparently it hasn't gotten to you. Do you think it's possible that the staff at the jail could not be giving you your mail?
Yeah. They gave it to me, and then we had our kind of like this. The cop came in and fucking and searched our shit and threw all my shit away. They put they ruined a fucking brand new thing of beans. Okay, I mean they came in and they were doing a cell search, right?
Right.
You know? And put it like this, Bob. There is innocent before you prove guilty.
Right.
Bullshit. Okay, if you're poor, you're fucking guilty, and you have to prove you're innocent. You know, I think the very fact, if you look at bail amounts in Sacramento versus other states, you know, for like a weapons charge, they're doing 250,000 to a million, and then another state's gonna be like 30,000. I swear to God.
That's right.
You know? So what was I gonna talk about? I was gonna talk about something, and then you asked me the question about Sacramento County Jail.
Yeah.
And like this. Oprah Winfrey, Michael Jordan, right now, somebody who is rich, they could start a company that would take over Walmart, do it exactly like Walmart, but instead of having investors, okay, you know, that are sitting on the sideline, you know, putting poor people to work, actually taking 95% of the profit and distributing it equally, okay, among all the people who actually work for the company, okay? Now, would that be communism, Bob? Would that be socialism?
No.
Would that be freedom?
Freedom. We have cooperatives all over the place. In California, I mean, there's thousands of cooperatives where the profit is distributed equally. And you know what? These people have a better quality of life.
There you go. Okay, something about Sacramento County. Yeah, when I was in the back of when I had first been arrested and I was put in the back of the police car, Officer Toy came up and he put his elbows on the winch was rolled down. He put his elbows on there, and in a sneering voice, he goes, "You know, I was at your house when we raided it, okay?" He fucking didn't have anybody tell him that there was a drug deal going on. He saw me across the street, okay? And he disliked me because in 91, I was arrested on a case of mistaken identity. I had a fucking genetically defective cop telling me that I was a punk and I didn't win the state of Florida. That I just got back from the Nationals in Des Moines, Iowa. So you know what I told this cop? I was handcuffed. I said, you know, it's not my fucking fault that your mom and dad should have been sterilized to prevent the mistake that you became. You're a fucking punk, you know. The guy gets out of his chair, punches me out of my seat, gets me in the jaw, knocks me out of the chair. I start laughing at him when I'm on the floor. And I said, you know what? I know bitches that hit harder than that. they fucked my leg up to the point that I couldn't, okay, the doctor of the Miami Heat said that they ripped every fucking ligament in my knee and tore the fascia from the bone, for the fascia, my calf muscle from the bone. The doctor of the Miami Heat, I look like the elephant man, okay? They charged me with attempted murder on a police officer, okay? Supposedly, I stood up and yelled, I had AIDS and spit on him. But I'll tell you what, Bob, my mom is a recent attorney since I've been fucking like 5, 6 years old, and she's told me forever, do not ever spit on a cop because of the charge. You know, what I did is I metaphorically spit words at this fucking punk cop in Miami, and that original attempted murder on a police officer, it's still on my unofficial fucking record, Bob. I swear to God, every time that I get arrested in Sacramento, you know, they keep me in jail for a little bit longer. They were trying to fucking charge me with all these strikes because I supposedly tried to kill a cop. No, I didn't try to kill a cop. I told them exactly the truth. And fact, not fiction. This is kind of like a divine, only one minute remaining.
Dan, when is your trial date?
What's that?
Your trial date. Can you give us an update on that?
You know what? I was supposed to go to court today, okay? But we had a lockdown because the computers are broken. And what I'm saying, if they stop fucking people up to Sacramento County Jail, they might have enough money to pay for upgrades. Okay, this place is falling apart, but it really is.
Wow.
In fact, not fiction. William Parisi and Sacramento, Linda Parisi. Stevia makes you lean and beautiful like you were when you're 20 years old. By Sally Bryce Peeler. Sergeant McKenzie from the Foster County Sheriff said that he found a gun, okay? Bryce didn't have a gun. And Sergeant McKenzie actually lied and said that I spit on him, Bob, straight up, okay? I was arrested, I was let go from court, and then Sergeant McKenzie didn't like me so much because when I was handcuffed in that restraining chair for 22 hours, I told him that I would play the violin on his wife. And
thank you for using IC Solution. Goodbye.
Okay, that was Dan Quinn here on Carson's Corner. This is Bob Carson. It is April 6th, 2013, about 12:10 a.m. And I'm concerned. I really am. You know, you got to be concerned for Dan's safety. He's been in jail for almost a year now. In August, it'll be a year. And you have to ask yourself, you know, you listen to the conditions that he describes, and you try to put yourself in his place. And I can't imagine what it's like being incarcerated in this facility, almost like an animal, and being subject to mistreatment apparently at the hands of the sheriff's department and their deputies and so on and so forth. And what is happening here? I mean, what is the state of California gaining from this? I mean, this is just unbelievable. You know, I think what's going to happen is Dan is eventually going to go to trial, and if he's found not guilty or if he's found guilty, he's already going to have a lot of time in jail, and hopefully he won't have much more time to spend. But, you know, in other states, this wouldn't be an issue. You know, in other states, Dan probably wouldn't have faced any jail time, but this doesn't make any sense. It seems what's happening right now is disproportionate to what Dan has actually done. And if you throw in all the circumstances, you know, TMZ, the documented threats on his life, which I wholeheartedly believe. I've heard Riley Prysock is a guy, I believe Riley is going to testify at the trial. He's been threatened. Frank Dukes. Oh, here's Dan again. Dan.
Hello. You have a call at no expense to you from
Dan Quinn,
an inmate at Sacramento County. This call will be recorded and subject to monitoring at any time. Thank you for using IC Solution. You may begin speaking now.
Dan, we're still recording, man.
Fantastic. Okay. What I was seeing was William Parisi is one of the best law firms in Sacramento, and Linda Parisi has been on the front page like 2 or 3 times recently. Beautiful woman, okay? A little chunky, right? And she actually knew that making stevia lemonade, coffee, iced tea, drinking it all day would magically make her look like she did in her 20s when she was at her very best. You know, that would take off globally. Her daughter is Erica Graves, and according to my Sally and the cops that have seen her, she is absolutely exquisite and beautiful. In that condition, my Sally Bryce Taylor, I'll tell you what, she's getting railroaded by the cops. Cops actually do lie. You know this, Bob, right?
Sure.
All the time. Okay. And the only thing they have against Bryce is Sergeant McKenzie supposedly found a weapon. Okay. You know what? Didn't find it on him. But what I'm saying is that when I was handcuffed in a reclining chair for 22 hours, and the maximum that you're legally allowed is 4, they actually had to take me to the hospital, okay, because they kept me in froze me so long. And Dr. Akers would actually go on the stand and testify that when he first saw me, that I had been tortured. Small robot. Sergeant McKenzie actually lied after I was let go from court, okay? And they pulled up that attempted murder on a police officer for supposedly spitting on a cop. And what they did is they created an illegal sting. I was at Dr. Herb Akers, all right? I had just got my first session, okay? And was walking out, and I got a call, Bob. And it was a female Roseville cop. And quote, unquote, she said, I know they tortured you. I'm sick of this shit. I didn't go to UC Davis for this. Come out to Starbucks and I help you. Okay? And I'm like, you know what? Starbucks in Placer County, you know, Starbucks across the street. And there's nice. She goes, Starbucks in Roseville. She goes, we just let you go for court. What do you think we're going to do? Rearrest you? And I'm like, yeah, you know what? You guys might actually fucking see that, you know, I did murder a police officer because supposedly I spit on him. It never made it to court, Bob. I was actually charged with trespassing in Miami, but it's seen on my unofficial record. So what I should have done is called my mom or somebody to follow me there and to videotape the entire thing. But I went to Starbucks and I paid for 2 drinks. I walked to the bathroom and I was tackled from behind. And the Placer County Sheriff's Bob, they actually rearrested me, okay? Because what I said to McKenzie pissed him off so fucking much when I was in a restraining chair. They should do a movie about this. I told McKenzie that it wasn't my fault that he had a belly on him. It wasn't my fault that his wife fucking hated his guts, okay? But was staying with him because of financial, you know, reasons like many women do. And that when he lost his fucking job, that I was going to do is put my mouth on her pussy, play the violin, and make up 2 or 3 hours for all the orgasms that he didn't give her, okay? And it drove him fucking so mad that they actually broke the law and rearrested me. And what they were going to do, Bob, they were going to, if I actually had a prior out of Miami, they were going to go to a judge and say, look, you know what? The camera was broken when he spit on me, but he has a fire, okay? You know what? Send him to prison. What they ended up doing is sending me to Folsom Prison for 3.5 months, I believe. And I'll tell you what, that, did you know, Bob, that when I went out to Notre Dame to sprint and then I got arrested out there, I came back and then that's when I got arrested and sent to Placer County. I had given up on MMA. I said, fuck it, you know what? What I'm going to do is actually use my jets, you know, and say, look, you know what? This is what a lot of stevia and marijuana can do. But when they sent me to Folsom Prison, I got so stuck in the stock that all I wanted to do was punch somebody, so I got back into MMA. So it redirected me from my original path, okay? Now, here's a question, Bob. If I actually could man up on pretty much, I'm talking about any wide receiver that's out there, when I'm spun on Stevie and Weed, I'm faster than I was when I was 20 years old at Notre Dame. When I was 20 years old at Notre Dame, I had the jets to catch 10 rounds from behind and man, I'm in, okay? If I could do that at 45, do you think that would actually wake more people up than what Stevie does than being in the ring and fighting? What do you think?
Sure.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm going to actually make a decision to do when I get out, you know? I mean, I went to Dr. Andy Nguyen's choke out cancer event thinking that Jerry Rice was going to be there, okay? Jerry Rice was never really all that fast to begin with, but he's a big name, and I'm thinking, you know what, if I could actually shut him down, that would get people to wake up and listen, you know? And I go to that event, and I'll tell you what, it was kind of funny. There were some ladies there, and they liked how I looked, and I showed them my play in their amps, and they were football fans. They're like, oh, my God, that's incredible. And I said, you know what, would it be even more incredible if this white boy could go out in the front right now and fucking blast off a 6,400-yard dash that, you know, probably, without a doubt, equated to me covering any other in the NFL, and they're like, let's go see it. So we went outside and around, they're like, oh my God, you're fast. And so I went back into this, it was at the San Jose Athletic Club, and I'll tell you what, Bob, long story, man, but the owner of the place comes up to talk to me because I was being a little animated, you know, and I talked to him, and it was cool. He was going to let me stay there, and behind him, he had a bouncer, actually, it was a bad movie, man. A bouncer actually eyeballing me and punching his fucking fist in his palm, okay? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you had somebody looking at you and punching their fist in their palm, would you feel like you were being threatened?
Yes.
Okay, well, you know what? That's what I said. You know, it was near the end of the night. I could let it go. And I said, you know what? The fucking homework back there punching his fist, you know? Anyway, I got kicked out. And Dr. Andy Nguyen, what I'm saying is, if you don't find somebody that's dying of cancer since you had trochant cancer events, you know, that you're supposedly raising money to cure cancer, if you don't find somebody that has cancer and get them in touch with Riley Prysock so they can start drinking sweet water just like Priscilla did, what I'm going to do when I'm rich is find out where you live, and I'm going to buy the houses around you, and I'm going to put people in there that hate your fucking guts, okay? And you use an example, okay, of what not to fuck with. Now, do you think that's a good idea, Bob? You know what? Not doing anything illegal, but if like this. If you ever blend, well, you can pay $200 a house. You saw this, all the, you saw all the soap float at the end of the plant.
Okay? Right.
Right, Bob?
Yep.
If the stuff underneath is going to bring a stage 4 cancer victim back into perfect health, I'm probably going to be fairly fucking rich in the future, wouldn't you say?
Sure.
Okay. Now, if I actually use money to feed the homeless and the hungry, okay, to do everything that everybody wants done, you know, and to start companies that actually do it better than the Walmarts, do it better than, you know, well, Cup and Pepsi, they're going to either have to pay me to license the Stevia blending toxic soap out of the water that there's so many people that sweep with toxic sugar. You know, but the fact is, Stevia is going to actually, and they should start putting Stevia in their product, or make a product right now. Okay, people drink that, and they're not going to get fat, they're not going to get diabetes, they're actually going to go 100% healthy, okay? But they're going to have to pay me, I'm going to be rich, all right? And when that happens, I swear to God, I'm going to do all the good things. And then what I'd like to do is hunt asshole men, because there's a lot more, would you agree with me that there's a lot more asshole men out there than there are women?
Sure.
Basically, okay? I swear to God, that would be my fantasy fucking job, to have enough money to actually attack assholes out there that had it fucking come, okay? And if you think of any better way to do it, you know, I'm all ears, but I'm thinking, you know, find out where people live. Okay, find out where Danny White lives, and then pay as much money as it takes. Put it like this, Bob, if there's 50 million people in California, and after it's proven that Gary Shore actually the sound of youth, eventually we're looking at people probably wanting to drink a liquid that literally takes them back to looking like they did at their very best and feeling better than they ever have in their life. What'd you say?
Yes.
It became pretty popular. You know, so there's what? Nearly 50 million people in California. I might even pull $20 million a day out of California. That's more than enough money to fucking buy Dana White's neighbor and put people that hate his fucking guts, and their only job is to run the property value to make his life a living fucking hell. What do you think about that idea?
It sounds good.
Okay, well, you know, you getting on Stevia, so I have your promise. You're going to get a hold of Riley. And then Riley and you are going to make it so a kilo of the imprisonable of Stevia that I have is sent to you, and you're going to start making it 8 teaspoons per gallon a day, drinking it, and you're going to go lean and perfect. Is that right?
Yes.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you. I'll tell you what. Like I said, I don't know if I would have had the nuts to actually go off Stevia for as long as I had, but my body started to fail, okay? I'm getting these lumps underneath my nipples that are hard, they hurt. I've already been recommended by a doctor for the next test, but Tucker County doesn't give a fuck about my health, okay? They just want to keep me here and make money from the federal government. I think it's like $100 a day, you know, put a piece of meat to them. They don't give a shit. So, you know, I'm going to get out of jail eventually, and then what I'm going to do is go to Kaiser. I mean, it's like this. If a doctor, the orthopedic surgeon here, he already recommended twice that I should get an MRI on my shoulder because, you know, they fucked my shoulder up, Bob. You know, when I was, this is how it happened, okay? I was fingerprinted in booking, and I had a beak on my thumb, and we're walking away, and the cop wouldn't give me anything to wipe my thumb with, so I noticed on the wall that there was smudges, like people that wiped their thumbs on there, and I made the motion to actually put my thumb on the wall, and I was attacked. I didn't do anything offensive, okay? I went into a guard on the ground, okay? They rolled me on my stomach, and as they were doing that, they tased me, okay? But they said that they didn't, even though I had a big taser scar, burn. And then they handcuffed my hands down my back, and then they pulled up on my handcuffed hands for so long, and for so hard, they tore muscles in both shoulders and fucked my neck up, okay? I mean, my shoulder is fucked up. It's a slam dunk. I just got my shoulder operated on, okay? It's already been blueprinted, you know what I'm saying? You feeling?
Yeah.
Okay. And so what I'd like somebody that's listening to this, like the Joe H's out there, to talk to an attorney, either about defending me for a Rodney King-type suit against Sacramento County, or an attorney out there to plug in Dan Kent, Dan White, TMZ, to look at, you saw where TMZ slamming me globally, right, Bob?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, well, isn't that a slam dunk lawsuit?
I would think so.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm willing to give up 75% of whatever is generated in that lawsuit, give it to the attorney. I'll take the 25%, buy some more speed, find some people with cancer, and get them 100% health care damage. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, put it like this. I mean, I had 154 RT when I was 8 years old. I saw mice go crazy in a cage, turn into humans when there wasn't enough space. That was happening to people on the planet, you know? All this bullshit against homosexuals. Did you know that I saw actual mice go gay inside of, I told you about that last night, where when there were too many mice, they actually went gay. That's a natural defense mechanism. If any animal hurts a state of our overpopulation, the fact that gays in the United States, okay? In the United States, I mean, we're the front runner for, like, democracy and for human rights, human freedom, supposedly, correct?
Right.
Okay? If we don't have it, you know, all men are created equal, how about all people are created equal, right? No matter sex, male, female, color, you know what? We're a sham. I'm embarrassed to be an American, okay? How about you? You think that's going to piss some people off? I'm embarrassed to actually be American.
It'll upset the narrow-minded people, yes.
Okay, the narrow-minded people that were probably big Pat Tillman fans, right? Because he was white boy in the backfield in the NFL. Pat Tillman that gave up his fucking life to go to Afghanistan or Iraq, wherever it was, and then he was killed by friendly fire. Christ's sake, you know what? I mean, that's a tragedy right there. I'll tell you what, Bob. I would trade on
1 minute remaining.
This is it. One more minute. You want to go on for another 15 minutes? Want me to call back?
No, I got to go to sleep, Dan.
Okay. I'll tell you what. I wouldn't trade my kids in for the world. If I don't quit football, I am faster than any defensive back in the NFL right now. Okay. When I'm 20 years old and when I respond to Stevie and Woody, if I'm like a white, a white boy, okay? What's the Jack Tatum? If I'm a white Jack Tatum, do you think everybody in America knows my name?
Yes.
Okay, and if I'm a white boy, covering black guy, man for man, and I'm a household name, now that I come out with stevia, young has already tried it.
That's right.
Correct? Okay, Lou Holtz, you are indirectly responsible for millions of deaths because you're monster motherfucker, and if you don't help Stevie get famous, your grandkids will love.
Thank you for using IC Solution. Goodbye.
All right, this is Bob Carson. That was Dan Quinn. Almost 50 minutes with Dan Quinn. So we haven't spoken to him for a while, but we made up for it here tonight on Carson's Corner. We will return to live programming after this brief timeout. You're listening to Carson's Corner in conjunction with CageJunkies.com.
This is an important message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. As the cleanup process begins after a natural disaster, there may be areas of flooding. Constantly watch your children to prevent playing in or around water. It doesn't take long and it doesn't take much water for young children to drown. In many cases, children who drowned had been out of sight less than 5 minutes and were in the care of one or both parents at the time. To learn more, call CDC at 800-CDC-INFO.
We're back live here on Carson's Corner, conjunction with CageJunkies.com. My name is Bob Carson. That was Dan Quinn we had for you. And now we're going to be joined by our good friend, class act, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, black belt champion, UFC veteran Tom DeBlas. Welcome back to the show.
What's up, brother? How are you guys?
Good. As the fans out there recall, MMA fighter Tom DeBlas fully retired from the sport what seems like only a couple months ago. As far as anyone at the show was aware, Tom DeBlas is still 100% retired from active competition. I know you're enjoying your retirement, Tom, and I want you to tell us all about it. I'd like to pivot for a second, if we could, to talk about some of the prelim results from the last Bellator show, just because the urge has struck me. Jimmy Rivera, Tiger Shulman beat Brian Keller by decision. I know Jimmy Rivera, very, very good fighter. Felipe Nova actually beat Daniel Horcher again by decision. A good win for Nova, but it seemed like the next Anderson Silva label Danny gave him didn't help him. But wait a minute, what's this? I'm noticing that Tom DeBlas defeated Carlos Shaken Bakes Brook by Dr. Stoppage, TK. What's going on here? I can only assume that some young up-and-coming stud has stolen your identity, fight record, and general MMA career. What's going on, man?
I know. Where the hell did that guy come from? He's supposed to be retired, man. What happened?
Yeah, no, I didn't get a chance to see this fight. I was reading the results on Sherdog, like the play-by-play results, and I was a little bit worried because Carlos is a pretty tall fighter, and, you know, I know he's got really good stand-up, and I got the feeling that you were having difficulty with him in the first round.
Yeah, he gave me some trouble the first round. You know, it's funny, man, a lot of people say to me, they say I drive him crazy because I'm a world-class ground guy, but every fight I come out looking to throw hands, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I went for a guillotine right off the bat, and I thought I had it. I squeezed pretty, pretty hard, and he started, like, dropping to his knees, and I actually thought he was passing out, and I didn't get it. It was the first 30 seconds, and fatigued my arms a little bit, but then I recovered right away. I got to tell you, I'll give credit when credit's due. I feel he was the best stand-up fighter I've ever fought, more so than Cyril Diabate and more so than Fukuda. His range, he used very well. He used his jab phenomenally. He kept me at the end of his jab. I pushed his back up against the cage a lot. And, I didn't get any takedowns. And it was a close round, but, his jab, I definitely self-controlled it. And I got back in between rounds where Carl was like, you know what? He goes, let's make this easy for you. You know, use the open mat takedown. Take him down right away and, you know, just wear him out. So, like, a minute in, and I said, all right, you know, I shot for single, got a single. I didn't even want to pass the guard the second round. I just wanted to kind of make him tired because I felt I may have lost the first round. So I didn't want a chance passing the guard and maybe him scramble to his feet and, give me some more problems on the feet. So I said, I'm going to stay busy enough in the closed guard to make him tired, to frustrate him, and to really take the wind out of him, you know, and stay right in the guard, pushed up against the fence, and I cracked him with the left hand towards the end of the round. I heard a big pop, and his eyes swelled up, and he couldn't continue. He said he couldn't see, so that's what happened. But, I felt really good. Bob, I've been in there so many times now. I've had some wars. I know what it's like to get my face punched. There's not one time in that fight where I was panicked, I got to tell you.
Yeah, and that's a testament to just the experience. I just want to go back here and discuss the change of heart that you had. I mean, I assume that there were several factors that went into you first wanting to retire and then unretiring pretty quickly. How much did you have to consult with your family and people in your life before you made the decision to come back into the cage?
I got an awesome family. I got awesome students that support me. And I think the fact that you know, it's not about winning or losing MMA, you know, like, it is, actually, don't get me wrong, I take it back, it is about winning, but you know, there's truly no winners in MMA, I feel, you know, because every fighter has their day, you know, but I just know I was nowhere near my best, and talent-wise, I really didn't show what I could do, and I still haven't shown anything of how good I feel I could be, and I didn't want to go out like that, you know, I wanted to come back and, you know, prove to myself how, you know, just, I'm just not showing how good I am in my fights, you know, I know I have a real good record, and I've been successful really early in my career, but I'm just not, I'm not showing really what I could do, and that's a reason for me to keep pushing and keep fighting. My family understands that, you know, my family, they don't want me to fight, you know what I mean, like, I have a great school, I make money in my school, I have great students, and, you know, fighting is not an easy career. A lot of people fight because they have to. I fight because I want to. But they also support my dreams, you know.
Well, that was going to be the next question. I mean, did your family know that you might fight again? And secondly, was there any resistance on their part?
I think everybody knew, including myself, that I might fight again. I needed to tell myself I retired because I needed to just get away from that lifestyle. And I didn't want to be involved with MMA for a little while. And I took off training MMA for about a month. I didn't train at all. You know, people got to understand, too, I fought 10 times in 2.5 years. That's a lot. That's especially a lot for someone who has a family and runs a business, you know.
Right.
And I think when I said I was coming back, there wasn't any resistance. You know, like my fiance supported me. She understands that it's something that I needed to do. I think now they kind of want to, they wish I would just hang it up and not fight anymore. But, you know, I'm taking it day by day and got to see what happens next.
Do you think you came out with more intensity in this fight than you had in some of your recent appearances with the UFC?
I think I came out with less intensity because I think I played it safe because I needed to win this fight. You know, like, there was no way I wasn't winning this fight, and I needed to play it safe to win this fight. And that's why second round, I didn't even try to pass the guard. I read somewhere, someone said, like, oh, you know, like, jiu-jitsu black belt, supposed to be a world-class black belt, didn't pass the guard. Let's get it straight. You know, if I wanted to pass Carlos Brooks' guard, I'm going to pass Carlos Brooks' guard. There's no doubt in my mind that I will do so within 30 seconds, 100%. And that's no disrespect against Carlos. It's just, we saw how quickly I passed Surreal's guard, you know. We saw what I've done in my other fights on the ground, you know. Submitted people quickly. It's just something I didn't want to do. I wanted to wear him out, make him tired, and obviously my plan worked. You know, I had to play it a little safe this fight because I needed a victory. But, you know, I had to do what I had to do, and it just so happened that he wasn't able to continue after the second round.
Yeah, the doctor stopped the fight after the second round, I believe, due to the damage due to caused around one of his eyes. Were you aware that you were beating him up around that area during the fight, or did you hit him with anything in particular that made you think you might have hurt him?
It was one shot, man. Like, I was landing, you know, I was staying busy, but I wasn't landing anything big, and then it was one left hand, smashed his eye pretty good. And the doctor actually gave him a chance to fight, and he said, you know, Carlos, do you want to fight? Carlos said, yeah, I want to fight, but I can't see. And then the doctor said, well, if you can't see, you can't fight. And Carlos said, I can't see, you know. So he apparently couldn't see out of that eye. I heard afterwards that he said that he got poked in the eye. There was a replay of the punch about 1,000 times. There's actually a GIF of it on SB Nation of the punch. It literally, I punched him directly in his eyeball. And you heard a big pop. You heard a big pop. And hopefully his eye recovers fast, but he got hit pretty hard in that eye, and that's really what it was. I have a lot of power in my hands, you know, and when I land clean, I land pretty hard, and that was really like the cleanest shot I landed in the fight, and it did that damage.
Let's talk about your signing with Bellator specifically. One thing you definitely have to say about Bellator is that they know how to build fighters, and sometimes I think they actually do a better job of that than the UFC. I'm not saying that fighters should be given easy fights, although that does happen from time to time. But really, what I mean is that the UFC throws everyone in at the deep end, and basically I think that's what happens with some guys, usually guys who can wrestle and win decisions, and everyone below them kind of splits between wins and losses. So they end up with a limited number of viable contenders, and they get stuck, you know, when one of those contenders gets hurt. Do you have any thoughts on that, plus Bellator and the UFC in general, Tom?
I'm thoroughly impressed with Bellator thus far. Bejan and Sam, and you know, they've been very good to me, and my manager has been doing a great job, Daniel Aguirre. I think they care about their fighters. I don't have anything bad at all to say about the UFC. I think I was thrown to the fire pretty quick, you know, like I accepted the fight in Sweden on 10 days notice with a fractured ankle, and then my next fight was in China against an Asian with 30 fights, you know, but that's fine. That's the way it goes. That's the UFC. It is what it is. That's no problem. You know, I can only speak for him now, and I'm loving being a part of Bellator.
Is part of your signing with Bellator due to the fact that you believe Bellator has a viable division for you to fight in outside of the UFC? Maybe one where wrestling and grinding the guys out wasn't necessarily the sole factor in determining winners and losers?
I think Bellator and UFC are the two biggest organizations in the world, and, you know, after fighting in the UFC, the only other organization that I could have seen myself fighting in right now was Bellator. They just signed with Spike TV, and they're also a top organization in the world. I only want to fight for world-class promotions, you know, because I made it to the UFC so fast. You know what I mean? I think they're a rising organization. They're just going to get bigger and bigger. And one of the biggest reasons I signed with them is they're a world-class organization. They come to my backyard a couple times a year, you know. They'll be back in November, and I think we could sell close to 500 tickets in November, to be honest.
What are you looking at next with Bellator? Are you trying to get in one of their tournaments to get on the main card and get some increased exposure?
No, you know, like, I would like to be on the main card. I think I'm good enough, and I should be on the main card, but as far as the tournament, I just want to get better, man. I just want to keep improving. You know, people got to understand, like, I'm not even, I've been fighting for 2.5 years, you know what I mean? Like, a lot happened really, really quick, and, you know, it's kind of, I want to take a step back and, you know, take it step by step and, you know, just get better and just keep improving. I have a lot of areas I need to get better at, and, you know, I've been lucky to be successful, but at the same time, you know, I think I showed even in my victories that I have to improve, you know, and right now, it's just about taking fight by fight. I do not want to be in the tournament right now. I just want to get better, man. That's it.
What's your ultimate goal? Well, I guess you answered it. You just want to get better, because we've spoken to some people fighting for Bellator, MFC, and other fighters, even UFC fighters. Actually, non-UFC fighters, you know, promotions outside the UFC. We hear guys say, you know, that they just want to get back into the UFC as quickly as possible. But it seems strange to me that you would retire, then unretire, then try to jump right back into the UFC as quickly as possible. So are you just trying to build yourself up with Bellator for the foreseeable future? I think it's a pretty good fit between you and Bellator at this point.
I'm happy with Bellator, man. You know, I'm just thinking about what's in front of me. I'm not even thinking about UFC. You know, like, my ultimate goal, honestly, my ultimate goal is to win my next fight. That's it. Like, when it comes to mixed martial arts, my ultimate goal is to win the next fight, because you realize how fickle MMA is. One day you're on top of the world, and one day you're not. Like,
yeah.
And it's just really, you're only as good as your last fight. That's really what it comes down to. So I don't want to look past that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to think about champion of Bellator, champion of this, or I could do this, you know. All I need to do is win my next fight. If I win every fight that's in front of me, we're in a good spot.
Now, is there anyone on the roster that you think is a particularly good matchup for you?
I think everybody on the roster is a good matchup for me. You know, there's not anyone that I'm afraid to fight. I've proved that. I'll fight any man. You know, I don't care about that. That's no problem. I'll fight whoever they put in front of me. But at the same time, I'm not calling anybody out.
Yeah.
I have nothing personal against anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they like you said, they are a really top-notch promotion. I really have a lot of faith, or it looks promising for Bellator at this point. You know, that there's a lot of fighters now that are not in contract with the UFC that could possibly go over to Bellator. They seem to be doing well on Spike TV, and you know, they're putting out there a good product. So it's really, really exciting. It's got to be very, very exciting for you, you know, being in Bellator and whatnot.
It really is. You know, I love to be a part of it. I thought their show on the Rebel was unbelievable. I think more and more people are really, really enjoying watching them. And the thing is, you know, their top guys are, you know, some of their top guys are pretty good, man. You know, like look at Curran, look at what's the 55er's name. I forget his name. The guy who Chandler. You know, these guys
can
compete with anyone in the world, you know. So some of their champions are, you know, some of the best in the world. That's really what it's about. And right now it's just about building experience, like, and just getting better, and I'm nowhere near my prime, and, you know, like, let's see what I want to do in MMA, you know, like, I don't want to look too far ahead, but I've been lucky thus far. I've never got any serious injuries. I trained tonight, actually. I did some strength work, and I feel good, man.
Did you get a chance to see Dante Rivera's fight?
I did. I did see Dante's fight. He is my teammate.
Yeah.
I did see his fight against Lyman. You know, Dante was gone for a long time. He's 38, 39 years old, and he's been through a lot physically. Had some scares over the last couple of years, got a little sick, and I think he did a damn good job, if you ask me.
Yeah, I wanted to see that fight, because I mean, you know, not to discount Dante, but I kind of was giving Lyman the edge there just because Lyman has been more active, and it was going to be a tough fight for Dante, I think, coming back, no matter what. But you know, from what I understand, it was a pretty close fight. And Dante Rivera is also a Jersey guy, correct?
Yeah, he's my teammate. He trains with me at Ricardo's, and I'm not going to lie to you, I was a little nervous for Dante too.
Yeah,
I was pleasantly surprised.
Is he going to keep on fighting?
I'm not sure, man. I think he showed in that fight that he has more left in the tank, you know. I don't see a reason for him to retire, to be honest. Dante's a guy. He looks, you know, I think that's a fight he could have won, man. You know, I think if he would have, you know, just done a couple different things, he would have won the fight. But I think he got more left in the tank.
Yeah, he still does have a decent record, too, so, you know, we'll see what happens. We certainly will. I don't want to keep you too long. We should probably wrap this up. You know, we're glad to see you get back in the cage and get a win, because after we last spoke, I felt that you really weren't done with the sport in terms of your fighting ability, and you clearly still have a lot to offer. Let's remind people where they could check you out online before I let you go. Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, Facebook, Tom the Blast, Twitter, Tom the Blast, at Tom the Blast. You know, I always respond to everybody. I get a lot of emails. You know, nothing's too crazy for me to answer, and you know, I'm there for whoever needs it.
Tom, thanks a lot for appearing with me again on Carson's Corner. Please come back and give us an update the next time you decide you know, make a major career decision. We definitely want to hear it. You're always accessible. I think you're a very, very good representation of the sport, and in many ways a very, very good fit for Bellator. So good luck in the future, my friend.
Thank you, brother. It's been a pleasure. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Take care, Tom.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Tom DeBlas here on Carson's Corner in conjunction with CageJunkies.com. And, you know, I was disappointed I didn't get a chance to see this fight. I really was, because first of all, I don't have television. I if I'm going to watch a Bellator event, or if I'm going to watch a UFC event, I'm going to have to stream it. And I know the streaming site that I subscribed to did not show this fight. It only showed
the main card fights. And so I was kind of left in the dark there. But you know what? Good for Tom. Carlos Brooks is a tough opponent, believe me. I think he's around 6'3", 6'4". Good striker. I saw Carlos fight at one of the Ring of Combats, and he lost, I think, to, was it Ed Truck Gordon, who lost to Anton Talamantis after he fought Carlos Brooks. And Anton Talamantis just lost to Liam McGarry, who was on this show. Liam McGarry, that's another fighter I probably... Well, Liam McGarry, yeah, I believe Liam McGarry, he trains under Kurt Pellegrino. But I've seen him up north doing some stuff with Eddie Rowland, and he's a monster too. He's someone that you really got to look out for. 6'6", 205 pounds, and he just obliterated Anton. And Anton beat Ed Gordon, who was formerly the Ring of Combat light heavyweight champion. And I got to look. I think I'm correct. I think I'm correct when I say that Carlos lost to Ed Gordon. Let me see if I could research that, because we don't want to give false information here on Carson's Corner. We really don't. I'm thinking about training again. I really am. I'm thinking about rolling again. And grappling is one of these arts that you never forget how to grapple. Okay? I mean, I'm grossly overweight. Okay? I've made some very, very poor lifestyle decisions that I've made over the past 4 or 5 years, and my health is certainly impacted from it. I don't have any illusions about, you know, why this is happening or why that is happening. But I've always had the will to remain physically active, and I still am physically active. At my job, I currently walk maybe between 10 and 14, 15 miles a day. I work out on my gazelle. I play basketball whenever I can. And I'm looking to grapple again because I enjoy grappling. It's something that I do know how to do, and it's something I would like to do just to improve my physical health and maybe even compete in the NAGA. I would probably do MMA again, but I'd have to tell whoever started training me not to allow me to take an MMA fight, as I'll probably wind up getting killed. I don't care. I'm fearless when it comes to MMA fighting, and I probably would convince myself that I could do MMA again. But, you know, I'm looking at a few places. Hollis Gracie has a place not too far from here along Route 35. I actually was there with Eddie Goldman about 3 or 4 years ago interviewing Hollis before Hollis went into the UFC and fought Joey Beltran. Maybe that's 6 or 7 months before Hollis fought. And Hollis, of course, you know, had cardio issues in the UFC, and he didn't really do that well there. But nevertheless, I would like to start training again. I just got to see my finances, which are looking better now, and see, you know, what type of classes they offer there, and, you know, whether there's a contract. And the biggest enemy is me, because we all tend to desire to have some sort of physical activities going on in our lives, but very few people, certainly people that I know, can maintain that. You know, we all join the gym. I joined the gym when I got back from California, right? I went to Dan Quinn's house. I did the stevia there. I lost 30 pounds. You know, I was shadow boxing. I was training every night with Dan. Then I fell off the wagon. I came back in New Jersey, and I gained all the weight back. And I joined the gym, but still, it didn't matter. So, you know, this is like cycle after cycle. And I know a lot of people that join gyms, but they never follow through with it. And, you know, I don't think that I'm alone in that regard. But it's something that maybe I can follow through with. And maybe, you know, I could continue to grapple, okay, because grappling's fine. The only thing is, I'm worried about this, is that, you know, my blood pressure and all that stuff, when I lay on my back to grapple, I used to be okay on my back. Like, before I really gained a lot of weight, it didn't matter if I was on my stomach. It didn't matter if I was on my back. I could pretty much handle any situation in terms of my physical health. But now, if I actually start to grapple on the floor, if my, for some reason I get lightheaded and I just feel like almost like sick. I start to sweat, and that may be related to my blood pressure. I don't know, but it's not good. I want to lose that feeling. I want to be able to grapple again, you know. And then, like my stomach, if there's any type of pressure on my stomach, I immediately just get uncomfortable. I'll give you an example. I was raking, you know, I might get evicted from my trailer right now. I might get evicted. We got an eviction notice, actually, or not an eviction, but our landlord was threatening to evict us because my roommate has had financial problems and all sorts of problems, and he hasn't been able to really contribute on his part of the rent, and so we've been charged late fees, and now, like, our account is up to $1,200 in the red. I don't owe that money, really. It's my roommate, because I've been paying my rent fine, you know, for the past 4 or 5 months since I've been here, but they want us to rake around the house, rake the leaves up, and my roommate has to fix a broken window, and, you know, all these different things are kind of getting strict, and they're kind of threatening us here. So I was raking leaves, and I put the leaves in a garbage pail, and I wanted to get the leaves into garbage bags, so I had to bend over the garbage pail and pick up the leaves, and the pressure on my stomach was like, I felt like I was being impaled or something like that. You know, it's probably due to my stomach size, that just any pressure in my stomach is just like, oh. They say that an obese person, if you handcuff an obese person and they're under some sort of stress, if you put them on their stomach, eventually they'll suffocate themselves because their stomach compresses and it becomes very hard for them to breathe. I can really picture that. I really can. I mean, not that I could ever get to the point where I need to be restrained by police officers. Oh, you never know. But, you know, I could really see that. That's what happens when you have a huge stomach. That's really what happens. All right. What do we got to talk about here? You've got the UFC on FX. Our friend, I got some. I don't know if I should really say this. I'm not going to say it directly. I'm just going to kind of suggest it here. But, you know, you had, you know, our friends at the Red Fury fight team. We had, of course, Sam Carden on the show not too long ago. And, and so, you know, we had Adlon Amigoff on the show, okay, and this is well before, maybe a week or so before, his victorious efforts against Chris Spang in Sweden. And so, you know, we had Sam on the show. Sam Carden was the translator for Adlon Amigoff, and Adlon did great. You know, he got a lot of fans because of the interview, and in my opinion, you know, I would be willing to bet, because that interview was downloaded thousands of times, and it was great. And we were talking about one of Sam's fighters lost to Pat Curran in the featherweight division, Shabalat Shamalayev, who really is an excellent fighter. Really is. He beat Frodo, who fought in the previous fight by armbar. He has a stellar record, okay, and, you know, he's supposed to fight Shamalayev, or he's supposed to fight Pat Curran, and needless to say, he got choked out in the main event in Bellator very, very quickly, and people are kind of trying to wonder why that happened. You know, why is it that this guy gets choked out in 30 seconds and whatnot? And I think it comes down to, and this is what people in the industry like myself understand, and this is what we hear. It comes down to the training of a fighter. Okay, where is that person training? What type of environment are they training in, and what are they training in? And, you know, there was some suggestion, you know, not on the part of anybody, you know, managing Shamalayev, but on other parties that may have been overseeing the training, that the training was inadequate, that he wasn't training what he was supposed to be doing. You know, he was training primarily stand-up, in which Shamalayev is known as a stand-up fighter, and he was neglecting the ground, and he gets choked out in 30 seconds, which, to be honest with you, at that level of mixed martial arts, you don't see that. You don't see someone getting choked out by a guillotine in 30 seconds. You just don't. And it's not necessarily a testament, or it's not necessarily reflecting on Shamalayev's skill, but people that are in the know have suggested that it was inadequate training and just, you know, not focused on you know, specific things that he should be focused on, fighting someone like Pat Curran. Okay, now granted, and Pat Curran has knockout power too, so I'm not suggesting that Shamalayev should have just not trained the stand-up, but he really, from what I was told, did really not focus too much on the groundwork. And another thing that's happening too is, and this is something that it really is a good point, and I don't think anybody really is going to make this point, is that what we're seeing is these training camps now, Greg Jackson, TriStar Gym, they're starting to get credit for the fighters' victories. And so, you know, a fighter's efforts almost will become irrelevant if he's training at Jackson's or he's training at one of these big camps. And, you know, it's kind of unfortunate, it is, because, you know, fighters, if the fighter wins in the cage, the fighter wins in the cage. And I think that some fighters are almost going to be reluctant to train at a big camp because they don't want to, you know, be looked at, oh, that's a Jackson fighter or a TriStar fighter. In other words, I'm saying that some of these camps are almost becoming bigger than the fighters themselves. And, that's not to say that they don't offer good training. That's not to say that they don't have a successful track record. And, you know, certainly world champions are fighting under Greg Jackson, have in the past, and TriStar Gym. And so people want to train with these world champions. But there's a double-edged sword to everything. And, it's just something to throw out there just to think about. You know, there's a lot that goes on with fighting. There's a lot that goes on in the preparation for a fight. And what's happening now, what I think is a good idea, is a friend of mine, and this is something that, again, when you're dealing with fighters from other parts of the country or other parts of the world, it's important to have a training environment that really puts the fighters at ease. And, you know, training up some of these Red Fury Fight Team members, training up in with the Bomb Squad all the way in far upstate New York, and being away from their families, and, you know, just not having access to, you know, I guess hot spots like New York City, like Atlantic City. And don't get me wrong, I know that certain people like to train in remote locations in the United States, and not being around their family and having, you know, visa issues could be detrimental to these fighters. So there is an effort now. There's going to be an effort to try to train some fighters, European fighters, in the same location. All European fighters, like, for example, many of the guys on the Red Fury Fight Team may be able to train in an environment where they're with their brothers, they're with their sisters, and they're with their families, and they have their visa issues taken care of, and they just train together under one roof. That certainly could help many of these fighters who have problems finding training. As we heard Adlan Amagov talk about on this show the last MMA show that we had, having, you know, trouble finding training partners in his native country, and having visa issues here, and just not being able to get acclimated to the environment. And that's, you know, important, obviously, in the preparation of a fight. And so now my friend Eric Ninehouse is trying to actually do this. He's trying to actually have fighters from countries, Kazakhstan and Croatia, and you know, many of these Eastern European countries, train under the same roof with their fellow countrymen and with their families. I think that's admirable. I really do. And, you know, if Shamalayev, if he trained in this particular environment, would he have lost? I don't know. You know, you could play this woulda, coulda, itta, would've, whatever, you know, all day long. We'll never know. But I guess we'll have to see in the future. I was disappointed, to be honest with you, with the fuel card. I didn't see it, but I was disappointed with the scrapping of Gustafsson due to his cut from the Swedish commission. You know, it's almost foreseeable now. This has really hurt the UFC, and it doesn't seem like they really had a backup plan for. And it doesn't seem like they have backup plans going forward, where one guy, one fight, you know, doesn't happen, or the fight gets mixed up, and they're really unable to, you know, preserve the card. I didn't get a chance to look at the ratings of the show, but I would be anxious to see how the shows did, because really there wasn't too many fights that interested me on this card. I was really mainly interested in the Adlan Amagov fight, and of course the main event. But the gentleman that stepped in for Gustafsson, who I his name, I don't have his name in front of me right now, but as I understand, was actually from what's that country? I forget. Albania. Actually, an Albanian fighter actually did pretty well and surprised a lot of people by even going the distance with Gegard Mousasi. So we'll just have to see what happens there. You've got one fighting championship, which just had a show, and Eddie Goldman highly recommends this show. I didn't have an opportunity to see it, but some interesting occurrences on this card. Brock Larson, I guess, is up in weight, fought Melvin Manhoff and beat Melvin Manhoff. You also had Jens Pulver losing to Shinya Aoki. I believe that's who Jens Pulver lost to. And Jens Pulver is ultimately going to have to step down, focus on his gym, and not fight anymore. And that's just unfortunate, but it's just the way it is. Okay, he's approaching 40 years old now, and it's time for him, you know, to leave the fight. Actually, no, he fought Masakatsu Yada. God, I'm probably mispronouncing his name, but yeah, whatever. And he lost. He lost in the second round. Yeah, that's my producer, Donnie Riley, just handed me some notes here. Okay, we want to just get everything accurate here on Carson's Corner. If you want to follow me or friend me on Facebook, you can. Facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. And you can also friend me or follow me on Twitter at Twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. What else do we have going on here? Just always stuff changing in the world of mixed martial arts. You've got Misha coming up. She's going to be fighting on April the 13th against Kat Zingano. And, you know, the winner of this fight is going to coach the Ultimate Fighter next season. And obviously, I think the UFC wants Misha to win, because then you'd have Misha and Ronda fighting, and that would create the most controversy. And, of course, the UFC has really built the product in large extent on controversy, which is kind of interesting if you look at the situation with Matt Mitrione, where the UFC would immediately suspend Matt Mitrione indefinitely when some of the other fighters have had egregious remarks, made egregious remarks. Dana White himself has made what could be seen as racist comments, and yet, you know, nothing happens. I think that they're, the UFC in recent years has been criticized as a misogynistic, homophobic organization, and I think they're a little bit sensitive to that criticism. So this is almost, the Matt Mitrione situation is almost a opportunity for them to say, oh, look, we have zero tolerance for, you know, homophobic remarks or transphobic remarks or whatever. And so this is what we're doing with Matt Mitrione. I think it's more PR than anything else on the part of Zuffa. And I, as I said earlier in the show, I think that Mitrione is entitled to his own opinion. I don't think that what he said was, I mean, he called Fallon Fox a freak and called him or her a psycho. And I think that's maybe a poor choice of words, but I don't think it necessarily warrants a indefinite suspension for that. I really don't. But this is what the UFC has chosen, and we'll see what happens. We really will. But you know what's going to happen is, going back to Misha Tate and Kat Zingano, who trains with Team Alpha Male, I believe. If Misha wins this fight, then she's going to be on The Ultimate Fighter. She's going to be coaching. It's going to be difficult for us to try to get a hold of her. We may make some sort of attempt. We're probably not going to be able to interview her, obviously, before this fight coming up. But we will probably try to interview her sometime in the future. And we'll see what happens. I think she's going to have problems. I think that this is not going to be an easy fight for her. I mean, Zingano looks strong. She looks to be very well-versed, but has she fought the level of competition that Misha's fought? And sometimes a fighter could look very strong in highlight reels, but when they actually go up against a fighter with more experience, they tend not to look strong, and they tend to get manhandled, or in this case, she may get womanhandled. Okay, we'll just have to see what happens. But I don't think it's going to be an easy fight for Misha. I would think that she would be the favorite going into this fight. You've got the MFC taking place on May 10th, and I just want to tell you, we're probably going to be interviewing someone from the MFC roster, including maybe Mark Pavlich, who has appeared on this program many times before. We've got Chris Barnett. He's actually going to be fighting Smiliano Rama. I'm probably mispronouncing his first name. But Rama's undefeated, I believe. And he won his last fight. He's a good submission guy. And Chris Barnett is the beast boy. Chris Barnett, who lost a decision to our friend Eric Prindle. Chris Barnett is fought a bunch of times, and he's an athletic big guy. You know, he's not that particularly tall. I think Chris Barnett is maybe, you know, 5'11", 6', over 300 pounds, an athletic, you know, big man, you know, so to speak. But this fight, it's going to be pretty interesting, because from what I've seen of Rama, is Rama, very, very young guy. He's not a real striker. He still has to develop his striking skills, although his last fight was won by KO. But he doesn't have real clean striking, just in my opinion, okay? And he's fighting a guy in Chris Barnett who has relatively the same experience, okay, but Chris Barnett maybe has been in there with some decent fighters. Although here's the thing about Chris Barnett. We mentioned the loss to Eric Prindle a few years ago, our good friend Eric Prindle. Aside from that, Barnett has been pretty inactive. His last fight was in April of 2011, and he fought a guy, Walter Harris, who I've never heard of. Prior to that, he fought Mario Rinaldi, the American top team fighter, who's an okay fighter, decent fighter, but not a world beater by any stretch. And so that makes this a more interesting fight. We've got, you know, Smilino Rama, who is a bit of a prospect, 6-0, 20 years old, and he has been certainly more active in the past, you know, few years. Certainly, I mean, his pro career started in 2012 than Chris Barnett. So that I think that would make him a favorite. But nonetheless, Chris Barnett is an intriguing guy. He does a lot of online videos. He's got a very, very playful personality. I'm actually friends with him on Facebook. And so we may look to get him on the program in the future. And that's going to take place in May, May 10th, MFC 37, okay, at the Shaw Conference Center in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. We may have Mark Pavlich. It's been a while since we had Mark Pavlich. I was thinking about him the other day. It's been about maybe 6 or 7 months since we had Mark on the show and whatnot. So a lot of stuff going on in the world of mixed martial arts, as always. And the question is where is MMA going to be the strongest? Where is the most growth going to take place? Is it going to be here in the United States, or is it going to be in Asia? And I tell you, there's a lot of promising things happening in Asia with promotions in that region of the world, and you know, some of the styles, the traditional arts being displayed in some of the other in some of the promotions overseas. Where here in the United States, we're not seeing an emphasis on submissions. We're not seeing. You look at a UFC card, and it's very, very rare that you're going to see a whole lot of submissions on that card. It's mainly in decisions, maybe one guy trying to rough another guy up on the cage. But yet you look at what's happening overseas in a promotion like ONE Fighting Championship, and you see an even amount of submissions and knockouts and very, very good stand-up. The level of technique, I think, is admirable in other promotions overseas, as opposed to, you know, sometimes what we see in the UFC, where, as my friend Eddie Goldman was talking about, he is my friend, but Eddie has yet to like the Carson's Corner page. I don't know why that is. See, Eddie works in mysterious ways. It's the truth. He really does. I mean, you know, I sometimes I can't figure him out. But, you know, we have the Carson's Corner page, facebook.com/Carson's Corner 13. And, you know, not a lot of, I mean, just I just put it up there a week or so ago. It's not really, I'm not one of these guys that has, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 people liking my page or 5,000 friends. I have used Facebook and Twitter effectively, and they are great tools, but I've just, you know, we have a ton of listeners, but we don't have that many people liking the Facebook page. And you know, I don't care. I just wanted to have one out there, but I'm kind of surprised Eddie hasn't liked the Carson's Corner Facebook page. And I know he does like the show, and he does value what we do, because we are young I am a young journalist who is asking the questions and going over issues that nobody in the Zuffa-controlled media really wants to tackle. And so, you know, in that sense, Eddie is, you know, a fan of, but he hasn't liked the show. on Facebook, but he was talking about in his last show the Tony the Tiger announcements. Oh, that's great! Oh, what a great shot! And, isn't and of course, he's talking about Joe Rogan and Michael Goldberg, referring to every technique as great and a great this and a great that. And somewhere along the line, the technique gets diluted, to the audience. The people just lose the value of good technique, and this is great, that's great, and this and that. And Eddie also went on to talk about the dumbing down of the fans in general. And interesting point, it really is. Eddie does a lot of material. I mean, Eddie covers a lot of stuff, and to be honest with you, there's some things, some shows and some people that I'm not interested in hearing. But when Eddie has commentary on the sport of mixed martial arts, or a particular aspect, an anniversary or the demise of a promotion or the significance of this, I like to listen to that because I think that he provides commentary like no one else, and he's been in the business for longer than anybody else has. And this is the God's honest truth. I've been in the business pretty long too. When I first started in 2006 with this podcast, there was only a few MMA radio shows out there. Ryan Bennett has had his show with MMA Weekly. There was one show in Hawaii, and there was Eddie Goldman. And Eddie, I think, was on hiatus at the time. And I started doing shows, and I started to get a lot of attention online, and the people just now, everybody has a show. You look everywhere. Everybody and their mother has a show. And, we're not these Johnny-come-lately guys that, are only covering the sport because it's popular. We're not. I love the sport. I'll be doing this for the rest of my life, honestly. There are some times where I lose the will to cover the sport of mixed martial arts. I'm like, what am I covering here? This is just ridiculous. It's run like a business. Zuffa is running this as a business. It's hurting, fighters, in my opinion, in a few different areas. And I'm just tired of this. But I always find myself coming back to MMA. I find myself wanting to train in mixed martial arts. Because I genuinely love the sport, and that's the bottom line, and that's something that you can't take out of a person, regardless of the state of the sport. If Eddie Goldman hated MMA, or if he, I would submit that there's a part of him that loves the sport, just like myself. Even though we're very, very cynical people, even though the state of mixed martial arts in the United States is questionable as to whether or not it peaked already, so on and so forth. But he always reverts back to talking about mixed martial arts because there's a genuine love for the sport that I think a majority of us really hold. And that's really the bottom line. And when assigning credibility to individuals out there, because like I said, there are a lot of Johnny come lately individuals, people that only started covering the sport as a way to advance their own agenda, whether it's money, whether it's some sort of social status or whatever. And these people were not around the sport as long as I was, and certainly not as long as Eddie was. So you should really take that into consideration. But then again, many of the people that watch the UFC, many of the people that perhaps listen to, these clowns on Sure Dog Radio or whatever, they only want to listen to people like them who are, I want to say short attention span and do not appreciate certain values in mixed martial arts. You ever listen to some of these other MMA radio shows? Now, listen, you could criticize me all you want to. Believe me, I've heard all the criticisms about this show. I suck. I have a bad voice. I breathe too heavy. I don't know this. I don't know what I'm talking about. A million different criticisms of this show. That's fine. You can't tell me there's another person like me out there. We are an original brand here in Carson's Corner, and we deliver the best MMA interviews out there. And people know this. And people for years have been listening to this program, thousands of people each week. Because when we have people on the show, we deliver real value to people out there. And that's not measured in Facebook likes or you know, friends on Facebook or Twitter followers or these artificial measures. And you know, nobody else is like that. Nobody else is, really. And then you've got these other pundits out there that you know, take themselves so seriously and you know, analyze this as if they're talking about politics or whatever, something, you know. I can think of a lot of people that are just almost arrogant, you know, and they write books and they just, you know, they know it all and this and that. These people have only been, I mean, I can name off a few, but I don't want to do that. But these people have only been around the sport for a short period of time, and it should be noted. It really should. All right, I'm just about out of time here on Carson's Corner in conjunction with CageJunkies.com. I want to give a big thanks to Tom DeBlass, who joined us in the second hour. Tom, keep us up to date on your career as it goes forward. And, ooh, Paige Van Zandt. I got a nice picture of Paige Van Zandt on Facebook. I'm one of her friends. I like that. I do. I want to give a big thanks to Dan Quinn, okay, for interviewing or for calling in the other night and giving us an update. We hold Dan in our prayers. We certainly hope that he's not harmed while incarcerated. And I got to call Riley Price. I got to really get on Stevie. That's my – I really have to get on that. And I will. I will. I'm going to write that down. And I'm going to remember that I promised that to Dan. I can't let Dan down. I really can't. I really can't. So, all right, that's going to be it for this week's edition of Carson's Corner. For those of you that enjoy my political show – we will have a political show this Friday. Wade Jackson is a Marxist. He is a activist, young guy, younger than myself. He's going to be on the program. And also Jeff Howard, Occupy activist who is in Connecticut. He's going to be on the program too. You could check out many of Jeff's interviews on my program by going to Blog Talk Radio. .com/Carson's Corner. He's an animal. Jeff is a progressive warrior. He really is. And he's someone that you should listen to. He's got he was part of the gun control effort in Connecticut. I'm sure he's going to talk about that and much more. So that's going to come up Friday, 4 p.m. Carson's Corner, the political show. Very, very important show. One of the most important political, progressive podcasts out there. All right, so until next time, well, let me just quickly tell you how you can friend me on Facebook, facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA, twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA, and you can like the Carson's Corner Facebook page at facebook.com/CarsonsCorner13. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect, folks. Thanks for tuning in.